I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left. 23 left.
Will. 1, 2, 3.
This is the Buffalo Bills postgame show. Here's Nate Geary.
All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome into the Buffalo Bills postgame show. Nate Geary here. The Bills get a much-needed win. They move to 9-3 on the season and temporarily take over first place in the AFC East with a 24-10 win over the New England Patriots. A lot to get into from this football game. I think we'll start with Ken Dorsey's best play calling of the season for the Bills. A multifaceted offensive approach in this game, the short passing game, getting the running backs going in this game. Devin Singletary, he doesn't end up with any catches, but he has a nice game on the ground. So did James Cook. 14 carries led the way for the Bills in the backfield in terms of overall touches. 14 carries to Devin Singletary's 13. He also added 6 catches for 41 yards on 6 targets. So an efficient day for James Cook. I'll be interested to see what the snap count is after today, but I'm willing to bet it's probably James Cook's highest percentage of snaps in a game thus far this season. The team as a whole finishes 37 for 132 and a touchdown on the ground. You add in a couple of Josh Allen kneels at the end of that. And you sort of just see this offense finding its way finally on the ground. And if you go back to last year, this is sort of the time that Brian Daboll and this offense found their way on the ground as well. I think a really important time for this offense to start figuring out ways to pull back the reins and relying on Josh Allen so much down in, and week out. Apologies, my voice is not great tonight. It may go at some point, but we're powering through after a Bills 24-10 win on the road. They get an 11-day break, which I think this team maybe needs more than any team in football right now. A couple of injuries to note in this game. David Questenberry, who was filling in for Deion Dawkins, he went out a couple of times in this game due to a left leg injury. He ended up finishing the game, which was good to see. Jordan Phillips, he went down late in the fourth quarter. He did walk off under his own power. I did not see him return, nor did he have to. Who else did we see? Dawson Knox went down in this game with a toe injury. He returned the next series, which was good to see. So a couple of injuries, a couple of guys banged up after this one, but no worse for the wear after a couple weeks of just really poor and just bad injury luck for this Bills team. Let's get a check of the Skyworks stats of the game. Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. Visit SkyworksLLC.com. Let's start with Josh Allen, 22 of 33, 223 yards and 2 touchdowns in this game, a quarterback rating of 106. On the other side, Mac Jones finishes 22 of 36, 195 yards and a touchdown, no interceptions, and 84.8 quarterback rating in this game. But you take away that Marcus Jones touchdown early in this football game, and we're talking about a Mac Jones who has 36 attempts and under 150 yards. So not a good game by any stretch of the imagination for Mac Jones. Receiving, Stephon Diggs once again owning the New England Patriots, 7 for 92 and a touchdown on 9 targets in this game. Isaiah McKenzie putting together a nice game as well, 5 for 44. Nyheim Hines, he starts to contribute. He played some snaps today on the stat sheet. It won't look super pretty. He had two carries for negative 3 yards. Both of those carries came in the red zone. He did add one catch for 21 yards in this game on two targets. Gabriel Davis finishes with a touchdown as well on two catches. But again, the efficiency just not there between Josh Allen and Gabriel Davis. Two catches, 15 yards on seven targets. So not the best of days. Ramondre Stevenson held mostly at bay in this game. 10 carries, 54 yards. He added a couple of garbage time receptions. He finishes 6 for 24 in this game and leads all pass catchers for the New England Patriots. Those are your Skyworks stats of the game. Once again, Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. Visit SkyworksLLC.com. Before we take a timeout and try to get to Josh Allen, let me grab my mouse here, and let's go and it's time now for the first response from fans. It's brought to you by ServPro of Central Buffalo's Team Luzzi. ServPro of Central Buffalo's Team Luzzi is first and faster to any size disaster. Visit TeamLuzzi.com. Let's go to Zach, who's been waiting patiently. Zach, you're on the postgame show. Welcome, Zach.
What's up, man? How you doing, Nate?
Good.
You know, a good win here. I thought, you know, it felt like they beat them by more than what it was on paper, which was strange because at the end of the game, like, I felt like the score should have been 30-plus at least. But nonetheless, what I really liked was the play by the corners, actually. And I feel like the last few weeks, there's been a lot of good man coverage or just coverage in general, but they aren't always making plays on the ball. They're still giving up some decent yardage to each team's kind of number one wide receiver, but I thought Trey looked good. I thought they all looked good. They're actually getting the ball. I mean, maybe that's more on Mac than than our corners.
Yeah, maybe.
Getting the ball out of hands. And it was nice to see Trey get some tackles in there, too. That was really cool as well. So
yeah, thanks for the call, Zach. I liked what I saw from Xavier Rhodes as well. Let's go live to the locker room and hear from Tremaine Edmonds. It's brought to you by Buffalo Labor's Local 210.
That's what good teams do. They find a way to close a game out. And, you know, we did a good job. Guys did a good job of making plays and resulted in us, you know, closing the game out.
Stopping Stevenson, was that kind of the first priority tonight?
We just knew we had to make him one-dimensional, you know, whichever way that was. Obviously, we pride ourselves on stopping the run. It's not always pretty, but, you know, I think guys did a good job this week of, you know, taking accountability towards that and, you know, practicing hard and, you know, making sure that we, you know, got that assignment taken care of. So hats off to the defense, hats off to the guys up front, man, because that's the unit to get this defense going, you know, just all around. And, you know, guys made big-time plays. You saw A.J. making a lot of plays. Just, you know, guys all around the defensive line. And, you know, those guys work hard each and every day. And they continue taking strides forward. And we will as a defense as well.
Every year you guys talk about the number one goal being winning the division. You lost the first two. How big was it to get this one, to get kind of back in that goal, kind of back in focus?
Yeah, it was definitely big. It was definitely big, man. Our focus is on, you know, just ahead. You know, we're not looking back. Obviously, there's nothing we can do back on those games. You know, I like to live on, you know, you keep looking in the past, man, you're going to trip going forward. So we just got to keep going, man. Each week is his own entity, and we just got to keep going. That's what this game is about. We can celebrate this one for sure, but come next week, man, we got to flip the page and continue to get better, man, because, you know, it's not going to get any easier. So we just got to keep going and keep trusting the process.
How did you get back out there, and how did you come away from the game physically?
Man, it felt good. It felt good. You know, it's never good missing games, man, but – you know, it felt real good. You know, I'm healthy now, no setbacks right now. So, you know, I just got to keep going, continue to trust it, man, continue to do what I got to do off the field as far as staying healthy, trusting the trainers, and just keep going forward.
You didn't get to play with Trey last week, having him out there even for a few more snaps today. What's that do for your whole defense when he's out there?
Man, I think all of us, you know, get a smile on our face when we see 2-7 over there, man. Just his playmaking ability, you know, it speaks for itself. Obviously, we know what he could do. And just seeing him out there, man, it puts a smile on my face because I know everything he's been through. I've been seeing it day in and day out, just the hard work that he's been putting in. And, I mean, he comes every day, you know, with the mindset of getting better, whether that's training room, whether that's working on his technique, man. And he's doing everything he can to be out there on that field, man. And I see it each and every day. So, you know, I take my hat off to him, man. It speaks character. It speaks to the type of character he has as a person. And, I mean, it goes a long way. He was like that since I met him. And this is just a little bump in the road for him, and you know, that was a little bump in the road for him, but he's coming back stronger than ever. And like I said, man, I just take my hat off to him because I see the way that he works. And, you know, obviously that's a lot of adversity that he went through. And, you know, I never really see him with his head down, man. He's always thinking positive, always on the positive side of things. And, you know, that speaks to the type of person he is.
All right, that is Bills linebacker Tremaine Edmonds. We're going to stick in, we're going to hang around and stick in the locker room because we've got Jordan Poyer here coming up next here, brought to you by Buffalo Labor's Local 210.
How deep did you end up with this?
I mean, guys just one day at a time fighting, you know, from the moment we got snowed in, having to go to Detroit twice and just kept battling. And, you know, it just says a lot about the guys in that locker room, the culture that we've been building here. And hats off to everyone on the team, man. It was a rough, you know, 15 days, you know, playing three games. But like you said, we got it done. You know, we're excited to have a couple days off and play at home next week.
You guys had a lot of answers on third down. So I know that one conversion until that last drive there. What were you guys? And he looked indecisive on third
down. Yeah, our D-line was getting after him, like those guys have been doing all season. Greg really stepped up. You know, you can go down the line of guys that really stepped up in that game, and us on the back end just trying to give them an extra second to get to the quarterback. That has been a huge emphasis for us over the past couple weeks, getting off the field on third down. And so that's something that you know, Coach Frazier and Sean had a really great game plan for us, and we just went out there and was able to execute it and get off the field.
You need to work on surviving the ground, too?
I just saw it. That's a catch to me. That's a catch to me. I don't know what's a catch nowadays. Like what? I don't know. They said it bobbled, but it still didn't hit the ground. I had 2 feet in. Sorry, I'll get it back.
Devon goes on IR today. You know, you guys play immediately after that happens. Shaq Boston makes a couple plays. Mm-hmm. You started to mention some of the guys. How important is that depth that you guys have built along that defense?
Yeah, it's huge, man. Like I said, those guys have been playing well all season. Shaq's a different animal out there this year. Right? So, I mean, it's like he came back to Buffalo and was like, golly, he's playing out of his mind. Like I said, you can go up and down that line with guys that are just playing really good football for us. And like I said, us on the back end, we're just trying to give him an extra second to get to the quarterback. And like I said, those guys are playing well.
And you can lock it down like that. Like, I mean, they're kicking a field goal. They're down 3 scores. Like, that's a wave the white flag field goal there. How satisfying is that when you've got them basically right where you want them at the end of the game?
Yeah, I mean, that's why we play the game. You know, we want to get them in situations where we feel good about it, and we want to be able to stop the run and get Mac in a one-dimensional game, having to, you know, try to win the game with his arm. And, you know, that was, you know, we call it a closer. We didn't have a closer today, someone trying to get an interception or a fumble to end the game. But, you know, we held them 3 points at the end of the game and got the onside kick. Shout out to the special teams. Those guys have been coming through, you know, week in and week out. And so, you know, we got it done.
Jordan, I certainly understand and respect the one game at a time approach and what that means, but do you guys have a sense of the division race, how tight it is, and how significant a win like this is toward the goal of repeating again as division?
I don't know how significant it is. I know each division win is, you know, is big. We got another division game next week, and I think we got 2 in a row, actually, one game at a time. But, you know, it's I get in trouble if I don't say that. But, yeah, all of them are big, man, especially when you go on the road, third road game in a row. You can really look at it like that, third road game in a row, to be able to go on the road in a hostile environment like this and play the way we did. It's huge. Thanks.
All right, that is Bills safety Jordan Poyer. He's talking about that interception. Yeah, listen, in the NFL, no one knows what a catch is, but the guy got three feet down and then didn't complete, quote-unquote, complete the catch as he went out of bounds. We're going to take a timeout. We're going to hear from head coach Sean McDermott coming up. We're going to hear from QB1 as well. All that's coming up here. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. The Bills win 24-10 on the road. Their third straight victory against the New England Patriots, and take away Winmageddon, and maybe we're talking about 5 straight victories for the Bills against the Bill Belichick-led Patriots. One thing to note, at the end of the game, the Patriots had 3 timeouts, 1:51 left. The Bills kneeled down on first down, and Bill Belichick did not use any of his timeouts. I don't know, like, listen, are the Patriots going to score a touchdown, get an onside kick, and score another touchdown to tie this football game? Probably not. But a Bill Belichick team giving up with three timeouts left on the clock, or three timeouts left, is certainly an interesting development in the, I don't know, psyche and the, you know, belief in his team and his franchise right now, where they are as a franchise now, 6-6, 500 on the year, with some games coming up that, you know, probably aren't the most winnable. It's very possible this team could finish 6-11 with the games they have on tap on the schedule. So really interesting decision there at the end of the game. Again, I mean, it's one of those things. Are they going to come back and tie this football game? Probably not. But, man, it's just something I'm not used to seeing. And maybe something we should all get more used to seeing, which is Bill Belichick waving the white flag. Sun Tzu waving the white flag. That's what he's known for in the art of war, right? Is waving the white flag? I don't believe so. I've never read the art of war, but I'm pretty sure that's not the plot. I mean, Zach, thoughts? Is that the plot for you?
It is, in fact, not the plot.
It's not the plot. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I'll have to ask Jeremy. I know he's a Sun Tzu expert, mentioning again tonight, Sun Tzu. We are waiting for Josh Allen to hit the podium. He just was on the Amazon set with, you know, Tony Gonzalez, Fitzy, Sherman, and Whitworth. And during the timeout there, I was watching, and I saw Josh Allen and heard Josh Allen for the very first time talk trash. Mentioned he was a Gillette athlete, and he knew what stadium he was playing in. I think that was the closest thing to trash talk I've heard from Josh Allen over the course of his career. So you'll love to see it. A couple other things from this game, too. Gregory Rousseau really, really played well in this football game. Coming back from the ankle injury, same with and he doesn't end up with a sack in this game, but several pressures against Mac Jones. He had a holding penalty against him, against Connor McDermott. A.J. Epenesa is the only guy that actually gets credited with a sack in this game, only one sack of Mac Jones. But I found it interesting. I didn't really know what to expect from A.J. Epenesa, from Gregory Rousseau, both coming off ankle injuries, missed the last 2 weeks. For Rousseau, the last 3 weeks. So I didn't really know what to expect from both guys coming in, coming back from injury. It's a tough injury for guys that rely so much on cutting and planting at the defensive end and edge position. But man, Rousseau looked really, really good tonight. Had a batted pass, looked quick, looked fluid off the line of scrimmage. Liked what I see there. Another caller earlier, or our first caller of the day, talked a little bit about the cornerback play and not a lot of Dane Jackson. We didn't see Dane Jackson until the end of the game when the game was pretty much at hand. They pulled Tre'Davious White off the field, which, you know, I give credit to them. Trey played all the important downs in this football game. Pull him off the field. No real reason, at least for me, no real reason to put Tre'Davious White out there when the game's in hand. You don't want anything silly happening. I thought, and have thought, I've been kind of impressed. Clearly the coaching staff has too, in the veteran Xavier Rhodes. I was saying this during the broadcast to Zach, that he knows Leslie Frazier's defense. This is a traditional zone corner and a defense that wants to run a lot of zone. I know, you know, with Kyer Elam, that's going to be an interesting dynamic this week. What happens with Kyer Elam? What was with the healthy scratch, quote unquote? Did he come in? Did he show up to the facility today sick? I know a lot of players have been fighting whatever stomach flu. I had that last week. Now I've got whatever head colds going around and congestion. But, yeah, I think the Xavier Rhodes addition to this team late in the or earlier this season gets the hamstring injury, goes to the IR, and you're kind of thinking you're never going to hear from Xavier Rhodes. No way he cracks the lineup. He's been a nice steadying force for this defense. He's got that veteran leadership, that veteran presence that you love to have, especially at the cornerback position. I think as of late, their struggles against number one wide receivers, I think, at least to me, have a lot to do with the inexperience. Obviously, Tremaine Edmonds not being in the lineup. That's the other guy I want to talk about in this. So Xavier Rhodes, great to sign to see him steady the position. I can't remember really seeing him or calling him out or even sort of remembering him from this game. And if you're a corner, you love to not be remembered from a football game. That means, you know, you're not being targeted. You're doing your job. So all in all, good game from Xavier Rhodes. But man, did this team miss Tremaine Edmonds or what? I mentioned it to Sal Capaccio during my ECMC halftime show. I mean, this defense plays with a different level of confidence when Tremaine Edmonds is in the lineup. Now, a lot of you might still believe in your heart of hearts that you don't think he's a good football player. You think he's a liability on the field. You think he's a stat humper because he catches tackles 4, 5, 6 yards down the field in the run game. Well, I can promise you this. He has weaknesses. I think if you're a Tremaine Edmonds stan like me, the first and most important thing you could do is mark his weaknesses. What are they? He struggles to shed blocks. He is not the most dynamic player when he's got NFL offensive linemen in his grill. Full disclosure, I agree with that. He is not the best when he is asked to shed blocks, especially against guards and centers in the NFL. But man, when that defensive line keeps him clean, this is what people that have been defending Tremaine Edmonds have been saying for the last 2 or 3 seasons, is if you could get some play up front, DaQuan Jones has complete, to me anyways, and the play of Ed Oliver as of late, have unlocked the ceiling and the potential that had always existed with Tremaine Edmonds. But what he does, and I think even the biggest naysayers, the biggest haters of Tremaine Edmonds, the second half of the Minnesota game in the last 2 weeks, everyone's talking about wide receiver one. Well, Tremaine Edmonds plays the strong side, guys. He usually plays on the side that the number one receiver is lined up against, right? And over the last couple of weeks, what I guess we'll say the last 10 quarters of football before this game, they were, and I mentioned this last postgame, they were using Dane Jackson's leverage against him, knowing they didn't have the 6'6", 7-foot wingspan freak of nature in the middle of the field, and they took advantage of it. It's not a surprise to me that they looked far. Well, I mean, also, let's acknowledge what we got to acknowledge. This Patriots passing offense is not good. Mac Jones did go for 386 last week against the Minnesota Vikings. So let's at least give him that. This isn't the worst passing offense in the league. It's not the Ravens. But yeah, I mean, I've got to say that if you're still, all right, before I go any further, let's cut to the locker room and let's hear from Bills quarterback Josh Allen, brought to you by Local 210.
Healthy, kind of nice little reset as we move back home, and we know we got some divisional games coming up, and again, we got to put our best foot forward and try to find a way to win some football games here.
Josh, talk about the way you guys established the run. It was really probably the key to the game tonight for you guys on offense.
Yeah, I thought Doris did a good job of mixing those in. I thought Motor and James ran the ball extremely hard. We were skipping some third downs, which is always a plus. And then when we did have third downs, we were putting our noses down and going and getting it, being really physical, playing some physical football. So, again, the more that we can get those guys going, it's just going to open up so many different things for us.
Josh, you talk about execution a lot, right? I mean, that 15-play, 94-yard drive there in the second, how would you characterize the execution and the play mix and all that? That was just a critical, dominating drive.
Yeah, again, anytime you can go 95 yards, it's a plus. But when you do it that way, and it's a long, sustaining drive, those ones feel really good. You know, those old linemen, they love those types of drives where they can just kind of go in there and grind it out. So again, our guys, I thought we played really well tonight. Obviously only 24 points, but our defense played fantastic ball where we didn't feel like we had to press and make any mistakes. Obviously, there's a few plays that we'd like to have back. But again, these are good wins in division, away. It's hard to win this league, so we'll learn from this one, move on.
Josh, the touchdown to Gate, I know it happens fast, but was there any moment you hesitated about taking that shot? I mean, you're right on the edge of going out of bounds, and it's in the red zone.
No. I trust him. He made a play, and just giving him a chance to do it, so I appreciate him continuing to work on that play. And I know I got to be better down there, and there's a few players that I wish I had back today, but a win's a win. We'll take them how we can get them.
Coaches pretty much at some point just say, hey, let's just choke this game out, because the run game is like 3.6 a carry, and it's not like you guys are killing them on the ground, but you just said, screw it, we're just going to keep running and choke the game out?
Yeah, and they were playing some too high shell and just kind of basically daring us to run it, so I thought Dorsey did a good job of staying patient. Our guys did a good job of holding on to the football and making some good cuts, making some good runs, and moving the chains when we could.
You made some throws today that you weren't able to step into, but you've seen – how's the elbow, I guess, is what I'm going to ask you.
It's good.
Has it gotten progressively better?
Yeah. I think every day it gets better. And, again, it's something that I don't think about when I'm out in the field, and I think that's the most important thing. But, again, continue to be in the training room and working with the guys, and you know, shout out our guys in our training room, guys and gals there, because I think we've got the best group in that training room. They work so hard. They work so many hours. You know, I can't tell them how much I appreciate them enough, and I think our team would say the same thing.
How about James Cook taking the bull by the horns? Got some increased opportunities today. Really seemed to run with it.
Yeah. Again, he's dynamic with the ball in his hands. Found some good lanes today. And the more we can get him going, moving forward too, I think that's going to benefit us in the long run.
Or back you go with Jay Z.
Can you speak to how difficult it was? Yeah, we'll get the Jay Z after. Speak to how difficult it was, though, to win three games away from home in 12 days. That's kind of unprecedented. The league doesn't schedule three away games in 12 days ever.
Yeah. Again, we could have used every excuse in the book, but our guys, you know, we work extremely hard. We care about each other. Care about each other's families, and I think you know, when you have that type of love in the locker room, you know, you're going to find ways to win football games. And yeah, it wasn't easy, I'll say that, but I will say having this little mini bye, you know, with I don't know how many games are left. Was it five games left? I think that's extremely beneficial for getting guys healthy and just kind of maybe a little mental reset for our guys, because we know these games that are coming up, they matter. You know, the ones in December and January, they matter. And again, we got to find ways to go win some football games.
Tim, red zone run defense. I mean, you got down there three times. You stuck all three in the end zone. I think you're like 6% your last seven now. Do you feel like there's some momentum building down there? Or?
Yeah, I definitely do. And you know, we know that we haven't been as good as we've wanted to down there, and it's been a key emphasis for us of just making sure that we love the play calls down there, and guys know what they're doing and executing. I think Dorsey's doing a good job of mixing it up and allowing us to go down there and be free and not have to worry about the other stuff.
Hey Josh, what will your role be in Odell's upcoming visit this weekend?
We'll see. Thanks, go Bills.
I love the "we'll see." I mean, that is all you're getting. Good for Joe B for asking the question, but I love the answer. We'll see. I will say we will see. I mean, it's going to be an interesting couple of days. Odell Beckham Jr. expected to visit the Bills this weekend. He's finishing his visit tomorrow in New York, or I should say New Jersey. He is visiting with the Giants. I'm not expecting the Giants to be a real player. I think this is between the Cowboys and the Bills. If you're Von Miller and you're Josh Allen, the report is you're supposed to hang out at Josh Allen's house tomorrow. First of all, love that. Second of all, if you're Von Miller, right, what are you saying? Hey, I'll be back in 3 weeks. That's probably when you'll be back. You'll be ready to play. We can come back at the same time. Come on, man. So we'll see what ends up happening. Let's go back to the phones before we hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Let's go to Billy. Billy, you're on the postgame show. Welcome, Billy.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Yes, and happy holidays
you
to
as well.
You and all the listeners out there. I just want to say that I am very happy to see that the Bills are putting together a decent running game. You know, it's been a concern of mine, not just this season, but like for the past two seasons, because I never thought that Josh Allen should have been running the ball as much as he has. And so seeing the running backs take over more of the lion's share of running the ball is very satisfying. As, along with the fact that in the end, it's also going to help the passing game because it'll keep the safeties honest. You know, either they have to stop up and stop the run or go back and watch the pass and watch for the play action. That's what you do when you have a good running game along with a passing game. And I'm glad to see that you're starting to see something like that develop with the Bills. The second thing that I just want to make a statement about is that the big concern I probably have going into the last few weeks of the season is that the health situation of the team is a big concern. I think that one of the most underreported stories in all the football media is just how health of a team, any team, the Bills or otherwise, can affect the outcome of the season or how far they go. If you've got health problems of injuries, whatever, on your team, that's going to affect it in one way or another. And hopefully our health problems on the Bills can be worked out and healed up just in time for a decent postseason run. You know, we can only hope, especially with Von Miller and the left tackle that went out.
Yep, Dawkins.
And so hopefully when they get healthy, you know, they'll be there for the stretch run and we'll be able to see the team go as far as it can. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Billy. Yeah, and you know, obviously the injury concerns, they've been what they've been. I mean, they just have not had a lot of luck with injuries all season long. The thing that I like that you said there too is the running game. And listen, for me, part of me just wants the running game to get you through these regular season. When it comes playoff time, Josh Allen's going to Josh Allen. And you want to be able to let the reins loose with Josh Allen in the playoffs. Because this team is probably at its best when Josh does what he does. But how defenses don't want to let Josh Allen beat him on the ground, right? I mean, you saw the layered approach. The Patriots probably do it better than anybody, right? I mean, they face him twice a year. Bill Belichick, I'm surprised more teams, well, part of it is not necessarily being Bill Belichick, and you can watch what he does. Doesn't mean you can necessarily execute what Bill Belichick does, you know, when he game plans against quarterbacks. But the thing that I appreciate and respect about how Bill Belichick, now he can't stop Josh Allen, the thrower, but he has done a good job keeping Josh Allen, the runner, at bay. So when teams are going to run that layered approach and have, you know, rush three and have a linebacker, you know, essentially spying Allen and bringing a defensive back down and spying Allen, you got to be able to beat that, right? You got to be able to counter that. And I think the best way to do that is be able to run traditionally. And I've been sort of begging for this team just to have a competent traditional running game. And seeing what I saw today, seeing James Cook evolve into the player that I thought he would be early in the season is, I think, a cause for celebration. Because there are still plays, there are runs you want to see James Cook maybe have better patience, have better vision with. But man, there's no doubting he is the most talented runner in that room. So if he can just get that experience, I made this bet with my co-host on my podcast, Food for Thought, Bruce Nolan of Buffalo Rumblings. I thought by the end of the season, by week 14, by week 15, that he was going to start to get the majority of the touches. Today marks, I think, what, week 13? What is this, week 10, week 12? I don't know days. Week 12, 11? And this is going to be the first game we see James Cook eclipse and beat out Devin Singletary in total touches in this game. I'm not sure that's something we're going to see them go back on. So that's going to be something I really pay attention to moving forward. Let's go back to the phone. Let's go to Jordan. Jordan, you're on the postgame show. Welcome, Jordan.
Hey, guys. How you doing this evening?
Good.
Good. Happy to hear. Hey, I'll be brief, and then I'll let you speak, boss.
Cool.
Thanks for putting the show tonight.
Sure.
I just want to talk about Gabe. I want to talk about Gabe Davis tonight. Gabe, he got a lot of targets, I guess, with a few little catches. But the guy, I'm so glad he's putting his hands on the ball, at least, you know, from a fantasy perspective, at least as well. He did pretty well. But, you know, glad to see that Stephon doesn't have to take everything on his shoulders every time. Josh doesn't have to take everything on his shoulders every time. It's been a little bit up and down with him, but I think he's starting to grade up a little bit here coming towards the second half of the season. I think we're going to spread the ball out a little bit more. And, again, Gabe's going to be my guy and always will be. Go Bills. I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan. Yeah, here's what I'll say about Gabriel Davis. He continues to be one of the least efficient wide receivers in football. 7 targets today, just 2 catches. And that partially, there's a breakdown somewhere in the body language communication, can I say, maybe frankly trust in where Gabriel Davis is going to be if it's not down the field on a 9 route. If it's not a vertical route down the sidelines, I'm not sure there's a lot of trust in the body language, in the understanding, in the fluidity of Gabriel Davis as a route runner. And it's not just the route running outside of those outside runs. He kind of has become a real, especially in Ken Dorsey's offense, a true one-trick pony. He is not running a lot of the in-breaking routes we come accustomed to him doing last year in Brian Daboll's offense when it appeared his role was evolving. Now, I'm not here to tell you that I think his role has, like, devolved or anything. But I also don't think, like, I have not been impressed with how Ken Dorsey wants to use him, right? So I keep thinking, you know, when are we going to see the Gabe Davis game where he gets 6 targets, 6 catches? I'm just, a lot of wasted plays happen when Gabe Davis is the primary target on a play. And he's got a lot of drops. And I don't love his fundamentals as a pass catcher. And he's kind of leaned into that weird, like, robotic, you know, he doesn't let the ball come into his body. I don't know. There's just, I continue to think that Gabriel Davis is not a true full-time wide receiver two in the NFL. It's why they're deeply considering a move to try to bring Odell Beckham Jr. in. I think if he wants to be here, that Odell Beckham Jr. will be here. And I think with a move to bring in Odell Beckham Jr., I think would slot Gabriel Davis in a more appropriate position. I think it's what Emmanuel Sanders offered them, which was the ability to slot him in a position that I think is frankly more fit for a player that is, I think, a little limited in what he can do. I don't know. I've got a lot of thoughts about why I think he could be better and hasn't been. But I think when I look at this, I find myself week in and week out feeling like I want more from Gabriel Davis. And I know I'm not the only one. I'm not here to tell you, I'm not going to try to pick on Gabriel Davis after a 24-10 win. But there are shortcomings with this offense at pass catcher. There just is. And, you know, Greg Cassell said it yesterday on Ross Tucker's podcast, and I continue to believe it. And I continue to think that this offense is not really in a position. I don't want to say they're not in a position to win a Super Bowl. I think they can because they have Josh Allen. He and Stephon Diggs give them a chance each and every week. But I continue to want more from the pass catchers and the weapons in this offense. Again, did Dawson Knox have a catch today? I don't believe Dawson Knox had a catch today. Dawson Knox finished with zero catches on one target. I feel like a broken record talking about Dawson Knox. Let's go to Joe. Joe, you're on the postgame show. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, Nate, thank you so much for having me on.
Sure, no problem. All right? Yep, I got you. Thanks, man.
Good deal. I just wanted to the main thing that I keep thinking about is all of our lives, or all of my life and a lot of our lives, we've seen the Patriots beat the heck out of us.
Yep.
And there's two things that we've seen. We've seen Belichick and Brady. Belichick is nothing without Brady. And all I can think of is when I watch the Bills play the Patriots now, I remember watching the games where I wish we had something like Brady. We never had that. Now I watch the games. We have Josh Allen, and they don't. It's the biggest differentiator of anything is we have the quarterback, they don't. And I just don't understand how Belichick is this great genius. He's a great coach, but what has he done without Brady? You need a quarterback. We have the quarterback. They don't. And I just love it that we are rubbing it in the Patriots fans' faces that we are the better team. They can't beat us. They can't keep up with us. And we're better than them.
It is a nice feeling, Joe. Thanks for the call, man. Yeah, the franchise quarterback is the ultimate differentiator. Two teams, one and a half teams in the AFC have a franchise quarterback. I'm really coming around on Tua Tagovailoa. I really, really am. But it's been like six games. You know, Josh Allen has done this now for 2.5 years. And I think if Tua wins a playoff game and Tua wins this division, finds a way to win the East, yeah, I think this division has one elite level top three quarterback, top two quarterback. It's got another top 15, top 12 guy in Tua. And a couple of guys, and Mike White, who frankly might be better than Mac Jones is, if I'm being fully honest. But the difference between the Jets and the Jets have a Super Bowl-ready defense. I mean, that defense is as good as it gets. Can Mike White just not vomit on himself is the question. And, you know, I think if he could do that, not vomit on himself, yeah, the Jets could be a problem too, and the Bills are going to get an opportunity to do that next week. And then they got the Miami Dolphins coming to town, so two big home games coming up. Home games for the rest of their division schedule, two over the next 2 weeks against the Jets and the Dolphins. So, yeah, listen, this was one of three. This was an important one, at least for me, for the Bills to get out of the way. All right, we're going to cut to the locker room for Ryan Bates, Bills right guard, and it's brought to you by Buffalo Laborers Local 210.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
To start the second half, not great.
We just had to settle in. We just had to do us. We got in the huddle. We all looked at each other. Hey, we know what we have to do. We do this all the time at practice. We know who we are. We have some of the best football talent in the world on our team, especially on our offense, and Josh Allen, Diggs, Motor, offensive line, Gabe, Dawson, everybody. And so it's, you know, in that last drive, we all looked at each other like, hey, time to put our big boy pants on. Let's do it.
Thank you. Sorry, Ryan. Take me into preparing on just 2 days when you have to play center and then Van Roten has to play guard. And then during the middle of the game, Deion goes down. What's that like for you guys?
Say it.
We know that. Hey, the NFL still has you listed as a center for some reason.
I really do. Yeah, my first couple years here, I played tackle and center, and so it's my fourth year in the system. So I know the offense like the back of my head at this point. There wasn't too much for me to catch up on, you know, because I already know all the calls. It's just a matter of getting the snaps down, making sure Josh is comfortable taking the snaps, because it's different, you know, for a quarterback taking snaps from another person. People don't really realize that. It's kind of like playing, you know, moving from one side of the line to the other. It's like running with your left hand almost sometimes if you're ready. So it's just a matter of, it was hard throughout the week not getting as many physical reps, but we got a lot of mental reps, with a lot of walkthroughs, because it was a 3-4 day turnaround. And so for such a quick turnaround, I thought we executed pretty well.
What about the noise, though, and the communication? Because you have to make all the calls up there.
Communication was great. Guards were on point. Anytime Josh flipped the protection, you know, it's hard for me as a center just being in that three-point stance, and I'm looking at everything, looking, you know, what coverage it is, where the backers are at, where they're bumping, is it man, is it zone? And so the Greg and Roger did a great job. If any time they flipped the protection or Josh got an audible, he made sure we made sure everybody heard it on the offensive line. And so that was one of the most important things as offensive linemen, is being all on the same page, because if we're all on the same page, chances are it'll be a good play. So
what are you going to do tonight?
All right, that is Bills guard Ryan Bates. We're going back to the locker room. We're going to hear from Bills defensive tackle Tim Settle. It's brought to you by Buffalo Labor's Local 210.
Just tell me about only having three defensive ends after Vaughn goes out, and you guys having to gut this one out at the end with everybody.
Everybody on our D-line can play a little bit of everything, so I don't think we were really worried there. They wanted us to play physical, and that's what we did. You know, we knew they were going to come out and play physical, too. It was a physical game, and I feel like we held our part up. You know, there was some times where they got us, but at the end of the game, we came out victorious.
Take me into the last couple drives. You guys have to make big stops, at least hold them to a field goal, turn the ball over or something. You came up big. What's going on? What's the communication like in those moments?
It's crazy because Coach E had actually drawn that play up where Ed had got home. So this is the fact that we're all in sync.
The safety?
Yeah. So the fact that we're all in sync like that, you know, we're able to execute what's called, and we see what we can execute, and being able to get it done, it was amazing. But it's stuff like that. You know, last week it was DQ with the game-changing play. This week it was Ed. You know, that tells you what kind of guys we got on this D-line, no matter the situation, no matter the quarter, no matter the time. So, you know, a big shout-out. You know, I know it's everybody's going to get a chance. So,
T-Bass misses the extra point, comes back with the game-winning field goal. What's that say about him and his mentality?
T-Bass, you know, we don't really question him. You know, he's consistent. You know, he's locked in, and we count on him. And this is as much as we count on Josh. So, You know, him doing that was just, it's nothing new to us. We see him, you know, he barely missed. And it's nothing new to us. And, you know, he's a stud, and big shout out to T-Bass.
What are you going to do tonight when you get home?
I'm going to celebrate with my family. We got Thanksgiving at my house. Right. I got my family cooking right now. So by the time we get back, you know, we're going to say grace and we're going to give thanks.
All right, that is Bills defensive tackle Tim Settle. We got a ton of sound coming in from the locker room thanks to our Sal Capaccio. So we're going to head to Mitch Morse, who met with the media, and it's brought to you by Buffalo Labor's Local 210.
A little bit different maybe, but you guys seem so dialed in this week. What was the week like in practice and the preparation?
Well, you know, coming off of a short week, you know, it was kind of a catch-22 in regards to, we understood that this was a very formidable team. At the same time, coach had to put us in a position where we could get our bodies underneath us and get back into it. So,
all right, we are going to cut away from Mitch Morse because we've got head coach Sean McDermott live.
I thought the guys did a really good job of playing complimentary football. Impressed by the leadership, the character of our football team, and the stretch that we have had over the last three games here. And glory to God for all of his blessings. So with that, I'll turn it over to you.
Sean, 33 pass attempts, 37 rushing attempts. Can you kind of speak to that balance and how the team was able to execute in that?
Yeah, I thought Coach Dorsey did a really good job of you know, changing it up. And when the run's working like it was at times, you know, just being able to stick with it. And sometimes it wasn't, but it's going to happen like that. And just being able to stick with it, I thought he was very patient in that regard. And the O-line, I thought, did a really good job. Up front, I thought we, you know, had a chance to get that last drive, get that first down there, but they moved the ball back to a second and short. Then we got hit behind the line. But I thought overall the pad level of the offensive line, I thought was very good.
John, what was it about James Cook's week that wanted you to get him more involved tonight?
Just, you know, I don't think it was necessarily, Joe, about his week. It was just overall his growth and seeing what he can do. And I thought, you know, they did a good job offensively, Coach Skipper, of, you know, rotating different guys in there, and it just wasn't all motor. And I mean, I think that's a good thing there.
Red zone coaching, you have 14 red zone snaps, you ran 9 times to Josh Reynolds. But, I mean, when you can move it down there, it's kind of good for your offense.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, again, the offensive line, Coach Cromer, they've done a great job, that's really where the game's won a lot of times. So I thought they had a good plan coming in and executed.
Momentum down there in the red area.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we'll see. It's good. Good. I'd rather 6-7 than 0-7. You know. So, but those points are important, right? I mean, when you get the ball down there in the red zone, you gotta cash in, and we've done that the last couple of weeks.
Being Kyer Elam down tonight, what went into that decision?
Just, you know, taking a look at what we have with X, and you know, Trey's, you know, ramped up there a little bit, his rep count, and you know, we'll watch the tape and see. You know, the competition's good, right? It's healthy for all of us.
What do you think of the pass protection in particular with Matthew Judon and how good he had been coming into this game?
Yeah, I mean, he's a special player, I'm not going to say his name right, but Yusche, with 55 there, he's also an elite pass rusher. So they do a great job when they're coming off. Did I say his name? Yusche, sorry. Coming off the, I want to make sure I respect him the right way, you know. But coming off both edges, I mean, that's a tough tandem right there to block. So thought we did a good job in that regard. They got us one time before half there with the sack fumble. So just got, you know, look back at that as well.
John Miller, you said that you needed your pass rush to step up. What were your evaluations of that unit tonight, and just the comment on placing Von Miller on IR?
Yeah, I just want to be smart with Von, you know, and then with the guys that were out on the field tonight, I thought they did a good job. You know, I thought the defense as a whole did a good job. You know, we had that one play that got out on us right there. It looked like a missed tackle, and that's always something we can improve on.
Is there a point in time, Coach, where you and the coaching staff said, hey, let's just, for lack of a better term, put this game in like a wrestling submission hold, and these guys kind of choke the game?
I mean, that's a good defense, really good defense. So we knew it was going to be tough coming in here, and really proud of the guys, the way that they were focused and executed.
Sean, you talked about Josh over the last few weeks when he's made some errors in the red zone. And then he makes that play today, going out of bounds, crosses the body, and gets the touchdown on it. Is that the other part with a guy like Josh where he can make those plays and it's in his head when he's in that spot? To make that kind of throw, the one to gate for the touchdown.
Yeah. I wasn't looking. I closed my eyes when he did. So. No, I mean, that's part of who he is. And so, you know, it just the bottom line is you can't put the ball in trouble, you know, in danger. And I thought that was a well-calculated throw. He was open and he got it to him. And, you know, you never take away Josh's instincts and his gut feel. He's got a great feel for things. And but at the end of the day, he knows we've got to continue to be smart with the football.
I know two more plays.
But what does a divisional win right now do for your momentum and internal attitude?
Yeah, I mean, a divisional win's important. We knew coming in here it was going to be tough, like I said, against a good football team. And they're really well coached and prepared every week. So, you know, we're thankful to get a win. And in the division on top of that.
On a follow-up on Vaughn, you know, you said you wanted to be smart, and obviously that's the focus of that decision. But he's on his podcast two nights before talking about wanting to come back for the Jet game and that sort of thing. What kind of all went into that decision, and what was your input?
Yeah, Adam, I don't want to get too far into that. You know, there's been a lot of conversations, and, you know, going down that rabbit hole, if you will, is not healthy for us right now, and just out of respect for Vaughn and the team. So I'd rather just talk about the guys that played their butts off out there and gave us great effort. And then Vaughn will, you know, go through the process here and we'll help him get as healthy as we can and go from there. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Sean McDermott's Coach's Podium is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at northtownauto.com. We're going to take a timeout. On the other side, we'll continue taking phone calls. We'll get to a bunch more player sound from the locker room as well. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Fakes a handoff, wants to throw, fires one into the end zone, caught. It is a touchdown. Stephon Diggs, touchdown Buffalo. An 8-yard shot from Josh Allen. He threw it on the money for the Buffalo touchdown.
That right there is your electric play of the game, and it's brought to you by Town BMW for an electrifying performance. Check out Town BMW's line of EVs. Before we take another phone call, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Sports Radio 550 WTR Buffalo. WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls, Buffalo. 98.5 FM.
Always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back. The Bills win 24-10. We're going to grab another phone call here and then take another timeout. We've also got a bunch of player sound to get to as well. Let's go to Pete, who's been waiting patiently. Pete, you're on the postgame show. Welcome, Pete.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Yeah, I was just so impressed by the defense. I mean, I thought without Von Miller, I didn't know how the defensive line would look. And, you know, really, I mean, of course they missed him, but it really didn't seem like they missed a beat. I had a question, though. What the hell's going on with Elam? They sat him? That's really bizarre.
Yeah, I was interested. I was glad somebody in the media pool there asked the question. And McDermott's response, wanting to get X involved, Xavier Rhodes, wasn't really like a satisfactory answer for me. Because if you're looking at a guy, listen, Dane Jackson had a rough couple of weeks. But if you were going to demote a guy, if you were going to sit the guy down, wouldn't it make sense to go Dane Jackson?
Yeah, I mean, I would think so. I mean, I don't know if there's kind of more to the story.
There absolutely could be.
I was surprised at the beginning of the year that he was supplanted by Benford. So the very fact that, like, Elam couldn't beat out Benford at the beginning of the year, now he's getting beat out by Xavier Rhodes, who's like 12 years in the league. It's a little concerning. I don't know what's going on with that guy.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. Xavier Rhodes knows this defense, played for Leslie Frazier his rookie season. He's a zone corner. This is a defense that runs a lot of zone. I got to tell you, Pete, I'm not super surprised. They must be seeing something from Xavier Rhodes during practice to prompt this. You will not find me surprised at all that Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier are leaning into the veteran over a young player. That is not a surprise to me at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. All right, go Bills. Have a good evening.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Pete. We're going to take a timeout. 803-0551, 888-552-550, your numbers to call. We'll get some player sound coming back on the other side. We got a lot to get to here over the next half hour or so. You're listening to the postgame show. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Josh looks, going to throw. Pressured, moves to his right, out of the pocket, looks into the end zone, can't find anybody. Chase to the sideline, fires into the end zone, and it is caught. Gabe Davis makes the catch in the end zone.
All right, let's get a quick eye on the quarterback. An eye on the quarterback is brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. Josh Allen in this game, QB1, finishes 22 of 33, 223 yards, two touchdowns, and a 106 quarterback rating. He also added eight carries for 20 yards on the ground. And again, that's your eye on the quarterback, and it's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Todd. Todd, you're on the postgame show. Welcome, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Nate. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm powering through. I got some hauls over here. I'm working on the voice. I'm leaning on you here. Take the wheel, my friend.
I heard about that. All right, so I'm calling with a Gabe Davis theory because I'm looking for more from him, too. And I don't review the all 22, and I don't have snap counts. Sal does, and this might be a theory that he thinks about. But I say the number one key to Gabe Davis' success is the offensive line. And I say that from the perspective of when we have all five offensive linemen, and there hasn't been that very often of late, let alone throughout the season. But when Josh can just look over the protection and scan and see when Gabe's going to break open, great. But when he has to take that split second to look, uh-oh, where's the blocking breakdown? Where am I getting pressure coming from? Who do you go to? You go to the guy that gets open right off the line of scrimmage, and that's Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
So I think that if Gabe's not open right away and we can't run those longer developing plays that he is maybe so good at because the protection breaks down. So I think if we looked at the starting five when they're in there, I bet Gabe Davis' production is doubled. Maybe that's too much, but I bet it's markedly better versus maybe it takes him a little bit longer to get open. Stephon gets open a split second after the snap of the ball.
Right.
And I just think there's something in there. I think there's something to that. And when we hopefully get everybody healthy and Spencer Brown was down right and he struggled and now Deion, Mitch Morse misses a couple games, and it's just different on the line. So that's where I'm going. That's what I'm hanging my hat on, that when we get back to the starting five, we get back to the regular Gabe Davis.
Yeah, I kind of like where you're going, too. And listen, like he runs the long developing routes. He runs those deep comebacks. He runs – because really the deep comeback is the counter to his nine route, which he just runs the vertical, right? And that takes a little while. You got it. That's a seven-step hitch and throw, and that's not the easiest and the shortest developing route. I think you're spot on about when he gets open too. He's not a guy that gets open with quickness and route running. He's a guy that gets open with physicality at the top of the routes and can outrun you. The other thing too, Todd, is like I think about it from the perspective of going back to the divisional round game last year, and what did we see when he popped off and had that game against Kansas City? You saw a lot of them in the slot, and I thought that was going to be maybe the natural progression of how do you get creative with a guy like Gabriel Davis. He doesn't run your traditional slot routes, but he can play vertical from the slot, and I have not really seen that at all. He's been almost exclusively a numbers player all year, and you look at the route trees, you go to next-gen stats, he runs straight lines, and like with Brian Daboll, he was running more of those in-breaking routes. He was running a little bit more of a diverse route tree, and now it really is just like he feels like such a one-trick pony.
Yeah, and it's such a good point if you think about, boy, his last game last year against the Chiefs where he scores a touchdown on every other play,
right?
And why would we move him out of there? So maybe that's a little bit of that thinking as to why you don't see him there. I love the OBJ talk, and if he comes here and maybe that slides Davis inside, I heard you say that. I like that a lot. So who knows, but I do think that we don't need to run him out of town. Nobody's doing that.
Sure,
I think
there
are better days ahead, but we need that line back in shape so we cannot have to think about them. Because at the beginning of the year, we weren't thinking about them because they were great and we were throwing the ball all over the field. So, again, the game's in the trenches, right? You got to win the trenches, and we need our offensive line back.
I thought, Todd, too, like to be honest, I thought I don't know what my expectations were going into this game for the offensive line. I could tell you that even though it wasn't great, they probably exceeded my expectations. I mean, Matthew Judon coming in this game, 13 sacks, leads the league. He has done nothing against the Bills in the last three matchups. Just no, he had one tackle in the playoff game last year. Like, to me, that is the story of this game, is they gave up the Uche, you know, the sack, strip sack fumble. Other than that, there weren't any, you know, times you're watching like, oh my God, this offensive line is so overmatched. But credit to Ken Dorsey, you saw a lot of Bobby Hart, the extra offensive lineman. You saw them get diverse. Tommy Sweeney played a whole bunch more than I think I was probably expecting. You know, Morris is out, Tommy Sweeney's in. Sweeney's the better blocker of the two. Like, the game plan, the personnel decisions in this game, I think all speak to them understanding the task at hand, which was stopping a very good defensive line. But short of that one bad play, I thought the offensive line exceeded my expectations of what I was expecting, considering no Deion Dawkins.
Yeah, I definitely will agree with that. Cook was great.
Oh, yeah.
We won the game on the field. We won the game in the coach's booth. No doubt about it. Our X's and O's beat theirs. Good job by Dorsey, because we were all starting to get a little twitchy, even though we've now, you know, won three in a row. So, you know, he did great, and good execution. Love to see it. We all get a number of days off now, which is very exciting.
11 to be exact. Not that I'm counting or anything, but yeah, thanks for the call, Todd. Appreciate you, buddy. Enjoy the Todd. We'll be on Niagara and Iona tomorrow, by the way, here on our local station WGR. Appreciate you, buddy.
7 o'clock. 7 o'clock tomorrow. Thanks.
Thanks, my friend. Todd Kalen there. All right. Going to take a timeout. On the other side, we'll get you your player of the game. And we're going to rip through some player sound as well. So we got a bunch coming up next here. You're listening to the postgame show on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
It off. Big hole there, going up the middle. Here he goes, going up the middle. James Cook inside the 30, inside the 20, all the way down to the Patriots 14-yard line.
There's your difference maker of the game, James Cook. It's brought to you by Independent Health. At Independent Health, you'll find more than 1,000 Western New Yorkers who are big fans of this community and big fans of the Bills, of course. Independent Health, well beyond insurance. Learn more at redshirttreatment.com. Let's cut to the locker room to hear from Bill Center Mitch Morrison. It's brought to you by Buffalo Labor's Local 210.
A little bit different, maybe, but you guys seem so dialed in this week. What was the week like in practice and the preparation?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, you know, coming off of a short week, you know, it was kind of a catch 22 in regards to, we understood that this was a very formidable team. At the same time, coach had to put us in a position where we could get our bodies underneath us and get back into it. So, you know, it's a testament to the guys being pros, detailing their work when we needed to. And then when we had that opportunity and walkthroughs and practice, taking advantage of it, you know, we understand what the Patriots hold, a very formidable front, very multiple defense, and an offense that when it gets going, it's hard to stop. So for us, it was just playing complementary football, trying to put our defense in an advantageous situation, you know, make their offense a little more one-dimensional in the pass, and, you know, just keeping points on the board. And, you know, there's ebbs and flows throughout the game. As the game progressed, we felt better, and it went from there.
How important is it when you can start being as balanced as you guys were today, really doing so much, and Dorsey really just kind of having that kind of game plan to allow that to be so efficient?
Well, I think when you have a guy like, you know, Judon or Uche or any of those dudes or any of those interior guys, they're not only are they coached well, they're just good. They're just darn good football players. So whenever we can put ourselves in a position where we're just not, you know, taking five-step drops or playing that much empty, and we can kind of at least get them on their toes and make them think a little bit, that helps us out a lot. So, but to do that and for the offensive coordinator to feel like he can call those calls, we have to execute a little bit. And we were able to make some adjustments in the sideline, find the plays that were working for us a little bit. And, you know, they still were, you know, it was a very challenging front. And it felt good to execute in the run game to give ourselves a little bit of, you know, a little bit of a cushion at least to not feel like we have to drop back and play one-dimensional.
Mitch, what is it about this team or maybe the leadership on this team that allowed you guys to get through this 12-day period, three road games, snowstorm, all the things that happened, and to get through it with three wins?
Here, scoot back here, man. I just let these people – sorry, I know. Love you, Doris. Like I said, Coach McDermott treated us like professionals and really gave us an opportunity to get our work done, but at the same time take care of our bodies, get a few guys back from injury or guys, you know, having a quick turnaround. And, you know, it's tough in this league to do that and go from there. And, you know, it's just interesting when they say to this is just a kind of a caveat, I don't know, but the turf thing, the whole, like, you can't warm up and stuff, but then they have a damn concert at halftime on the turf. Mm-hmm. They don't let guys warm up before. I think it's interesting. So, but back to what you said, Coach put us in a position to be pros and let us handle our business, and our coaches put us in positions to go.
How nice is it now to have 11 days to kind of reset mentally and physically?
It's great. I think a lot of guys are feeling that 12-day stretch physically, even mentally. Go home, reset, get our work done. Detail. We understand that, you know, after Thanksgiving, and especially with how many division games we have, all these games are paramount wins, and we have a very tough division, and finally get to go home a few games, which I'm sure the fans will appreciate as much as we do and our families do. So it'll be a great time to reset, be a dad for a little bit, get your body right, and then come out a little bit of fire going against a really good Jets team.
All right, that is Bill Center, Mitch Morse. We're going to take a timeout, and we're going to close things up on the other side. You are listening to the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
The Buffalo Bills defeat the New England Patriots by a score of 24-10, earning their first divisional win of the year and improving to 9-3 overall as well. Quarterback Josh Allen led the way with 22 completions on 33 attempts for 223 yards and two touchdowns. Rookie running back James Cook led the way in the ground game with 64 yards on 14 carries. And Stephon Diggs was the leading receiver for the Bills with 92 yards and a touchdown on 7 catches. Injuries were a big problem for the team throughout the game again. Tight end Dawson Knox and offensive lineman David Questenberry both missing time during the game but were eligible to return to play. Meanwhile, defensive tackle Jordan Phillips left the game late with a shoulder injury. The win puts the Bills in sole possession of first place in the AFC East for now with a record of 9-3. This also moves them to second place in the conference. This sports update delivered by UPS Stores of Western New York. Every ing for small business, all in one place. I'm Josh Schmidt for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. The Bills get a 24-10 win over the New England Patriots. Thursday Night Football, their third Thursday Night Football game of the season. They're the first team in NFL history to win three Thursday Night Football games in a single season. Tomorrow, Buffalo Bills Football Friday coming your way. Howard and Jeremy are breaking things down in the morning. And then Extra Point Show, Sal Capaccio, Joe DiBiase will be along the way. Afternoon show, obviously, One Bills Live. Got a whole bunch coming at you, so and that's only just a couple of hours away. Zach knows. He knows it's just a couple of hours away. So, Howard and Jeremy coming up next year in six hours and change. So if you want to stick around, you know, leave the radio tuned on while you're, you know, doing that here locally on our local affiliate, WGR Sports Radio 550. I'm going to take last time out of the game, last time out of the night. Enjoy. Thank you for all of our affiliates across the network for tuning in tonight. This is Buffalo Bills football.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.